Broadcasting from the Third Coast and recorded live at Tripod South Studios, this is The Hango Show.
I need to get inside your head. I got to know if you insane. I want to swim around your bloodstream.
So how long have you been here?
Been in town?
Yeah.
Friday afternoon?
Yeah.
Came in Friday afternoon.
Good deal.
Yeah.
You had a good time?
Had a good time. We did. We have had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Went to a party. Went to Brandy's party. Really, man. You know, Brandy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She had, we did some catering for her. And she was nice enough. She was like, hey, man, if y'all are out, you know, stop by. So we did. We were there for, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so. And it was starting to, they'd been there for quite a while. So I think they were starting to shut it down kind of toward, I don't know what time we got there, maybe 10 o'clock or so or 10:30. And so we went to a few other places and everywhere was just shut down. We wound up at the Blue Canoe.
Okay.
And had a couple of beers. They had a band and it was a good band. I mean, they had there's like a little four man band they had up there. The lead singer would, stand in place and just kind of bend his knees. He would just, I can't remember.
Had this
remember.
Little bounce.
Had this
little bouncy
jump.
Little bouncy dance.
What was it? I was trying to think of the name of the band. Is it Promise?
Yeah.
That dude stands there with doesn't he do the bass?
Bass. Yeah. Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and he just does the bass. Promise. I couldn't think of that for anything that night, man. But yeah, we had a great time that night.
It was an 80s theme party, so everybody was dressed up kind of 80-ish and like 80s workout. Brandy was dressed up as
Prince.
Yeah. And the birthday girl was Madonna and like a virgin, all that white outfit, Madonna.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool.
A lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, I think Messa ran into Brandy that night. So yeah, she was like, she sent me a picture like, look who I ran into. I'm like, hey.
Oh, cool.
I know her. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hango Show. This is your host, Hango Wood. Tonight, I'm back in here with the boys and Miss Alabama, Jut Harpoon. Y'all doing all right tonight?
Man, yeah.
Great.
Pretty good.
Good deal. So, I recorded one earlier this afternoon with the Suburban Wizard himself. And I drank a little too much rum. So, I'm kind of coming down from that. We did an hour 15, and I was like, it's like 3 hours long. Oh, my God. We just kept rambling on and on and on. It felt like it lasted a lot longer than what it actually did.
What kind of rum?
Say they're Jerry's. Hmm. Say they're Jerry's and ginger beer.
Mixing it?
It's really good.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. It hit the spot. We went down the conspiracy hole.
Oh.
Talking about some of our favorite ones and some, you know, we just went all in on it. Yeah, we had a good time.
What was one of your favorite ones?
Conspiracies? Oh, I don't know. There's so many great ones to make fun of. I never did tell him what my favorite one was. He likes Flat Earth just because it's so easy to use it to troll other people and start giving them the facts about how the Earth is flat.
Yeah,
and they're like, no. And yeah, that's like his favorite one just from that. Just the trolling people aspect. I don't know. I like, there's anything to do with the government because it pushes my agenda forward, but how they're all crooked. So, yeah, I'm not really big on the moon landing not being real. I mean, okay, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, I like anything, like MK Ultra stuff, which isn't really a conspiracy. It's been proven that it happened. Kennedy assassination is always a good one. Who did it, which was George Bush Sr. We all know that now. And what? You had a look on your face like you were going to say something.
I flash back to the moon landing. My dad was one of the engineers on the moon rover.
Okay.
So he would probably argue that one. That actually did happen.
Well, I agree with him.
Yeah,
I think it did too.
I just flash back to that one.
Yeah, but I heard a lot of people just talk about that. You know, till they're blue in the face.
I'm like, this is crazy.
Okay, it's great. Yeah, great thought experiment. Fantastic. Jut, what's going on with you, man? What's been happening this week?
Not much this week or last.
or, you know, or whatever week. Yeah, right? Last time I saw you, 2 weeks ago. Semantics.
HB 976 died. That was the bill we were worried about passing the Senate. So it died, which was good. And then the feds did their thing and pretty much just gave the reins to the FDA on synthetic nicotine.
Yeah.
With the, and snuck it into the omnibus bill. So
is that like one of the things that they started at 12 o'clock and voted on at 1 o'clock in the morning and didn't let anybody know that would,
well, the language was put into the same bill that was for the like $1.5 trillion budget thing that they had to get passed through. Yeah. The one that they had the session at like, what, they started at 1:30 that morning and it ended at 2:30 and it was 2000 something pages of bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that was one of them. So we killed one bill and there's another one right behind it every time.
Yeah.
So whether it's state or federal, we get fucked either way. So we'll see what happens with it.
They're going to do what they want to do no matter what.
Sure, sure.
No bill can get in this way.
They can't stand not having power over every damn thing they can get their hands on.
What and about this the kids? Is
one step forward.
What about the kids?
Well, I mean, if you want to use them as shields, do it. But don't say you're trying to save them.
Yeah. That's been like the main hand grip for the government on anything. We're doing this for the kids.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids. They got parents. I'm gonna cut that as a clip. That's perfect. Fuck them kids. Yeah.
That used to be a button.
they've used that as a rallying cry for everything. Right. From cigarettes to fucking rock music. You know, it's been, what about the kids? What about the kids?
It's people up in their emotions.
Yep.
You know, oh, the poor kids. No, the kids are the ones doing it.
Yeah.
They're the one causing the damn problems. Fuck them kids. I got a business to run.
This definitely needs to be a button.
Okay. We'll get a fuck them kids button going then.
I'll gladly record it for you.
You just did. Didn't even know it. How about that? Arpoon, what's going on with y'all this past week or so?
Oh man, I tell you. So the last time I think I was on here, I was all excited about my new kid, you know, at work.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's your name.
Learned his name and everything. It was the kiss of death. Little bastard.
He packed his shit and left.
He learned his name.
Gosh damn it. Yeah. So he was supposed to come in on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
He's got a full-time job, blah, blah, all this stuff like that. And I told him, I said, that's fine. Just keep me in the loop. So Thursday, he had texted me earlier that day. Hey, do you want me to come in tonight after work? Yeah, sure. He goes, well, what time? And I was like, just whenever you get off, that'd be fine. So he said, okay, I get off at 5:30, or I'll be there by 5:30 or whatever. 6:30. You know, I still hadn't seen him, and I'm like, well, so I shot him a text. Hey, man, are you going to make it or no? Nothing, radio silence. Friday shows, you know, Friday rolls around, nothing. No phone call, no text.
He never even got a hold of you on Thursday night?
No. Saturday, nothing. I'm like, okay.
Well, no call, no show, no job, baby.
You know, and I swear, I was telling Miss Alabama, I was like, gosh damn it, I learned that motherfucker's name and everything, man. I mean, I was so excited that he was, you know, actually, you know, amped to work and whatever. This week, I guess maybe Wednesday or so, he shot me a text. He was like, hey, look, man, I should have given you, you know, I should have let you know what was going on, but I'm having some marital problems or whatever, and it just, you know.
Three days? Was he out burying his wife or something? I mean.
I don't know. You know, man, I think different, you know, I guess, than most people, you know. I mean, I, regardless of what the hell's going on, I mean, if I have an obligation, something, then, I mean, I'm going to call somebody or shoot them a text or whatever. I mean,
common courtesy.
Yeah, even if it's like at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, like, hey, man, my wife and I were in a screaming battle and it just wasn't, you know, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't make it. I'm sorry. But I mean, it's one, you know, I just let you know sometime, even the next day.
Yeah.
Sometime or another, you got 2 minutes to shoot a text. Hey, I'm sorry.
They could be in a ditch dead somewhere for all you know. I mean, you don't.
Yeah, you know. So anyway, he shot me a text, told me that, and he was like, do you want me to come in this weekend? I'm like, no.
New phone, who dis?
No. I got it covered this weekend, man. Oh, holler at me.
He did text you back?
Yeah.
You want him to come? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had hollered at me. He's like, hey, man, you know, I've you know, this is what's happening, you know. And he apologized. He's like, you know, hey, I know it wasn't the right thing to do, and I'm sorry. And if you know, if you want me to come in, I will. You just let me know. And if not, I appreciate the opportunity. So, on the back end, on the final, you know, the way he left it, you know, he was like, hey, you know, I get it, you know. Which goes along with the kid that's been working for me. I mean, you know, I mean, he's seemed more mature and more stuff like that, which was one of the big reasons, man, why it just caught me off guard that he did something like that. But anyway, I told him, I said, I need him this weekend, you know. So I figure, you know, I'll probably give him another shot just to see if he was, you know, get him in one more time and stuff, you know, because I realize life happens. But and honestly, you know, and I told my mom, you know, because I told she was interested, you know, and him showing up and things. And I told her kind of, I've kept her in the loop, you know, and I told her, you know, that we'll definitely have a meeting, you know,
heart
to heart, you know,
to Jesus meet
of the way things work if you're going to work here. So, but anyway, you know,
knock them dishes out before that meeting, though.
Go back to the old school, three strikes and you're out.
But when I first started working for them, Dirty Dave met me in the kitchen. He goes, you see a sign right here? He pointed to the fridge and said, no show, no call, no show, no job. He goes, you got to let us know something.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
He said, we know things come up. He goes, but you got to shout. Yeah. You got to give us a shout. Of let course. Us know something. Mm-hmm. He said, because if you don't show up to one of your shifts, no more about coming in no more.
Yeah. Well, and then once they, like with mine, I was telling him, you know, once we did get to the third, what I called the third strike, and then I was like, that's it. Sorry, thank you. And then they just would be like, I don't understand. Why am I being fired? I was like, because you've done this, and now you've done this. And I told you from the get-go, you had three chances. But they still, I was like, I don't understand. Well,
yeah. I work for such a corporate company now. They got to build a case on you.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
To fire you. They had a girl they hired at one of our, like my first stop of the night. They hired her there, and like I saw her some while she was doing some training. She's usually gone by the time I got there. So like the end of her training, they had her kind of on her shift, and I saw her like 1 week. Well, then I was off my week. When I went back, she was gone. I said, "What happened to a girl?" They're like, "Oh man, she's gone." I said, "Quit, fired." I'm like, they fired somebody? What the hell? I was like,
she must have had a bag of blood out, face paint or something.
It was all drive shit. We have those drive cameras that monitor us while we're driving, and they're not always like broadcasting us or recording us or anything. But if we swerve the van, you know, enough to activate it or like slam it on the brakes, we'll automatically activate it. If you just have to bear down. I think it's any time it activates, like, the ABS, it seems like it kicks on. You got it. I mean, that's the only reason. Oh, and if you like rolling stops, they've gotten so big on that one. That was put in maybe a year and a half ago. Now they want, if it's right on red, come to a complete stop. If it's a stop sign, come to a complete stop. I usually wait like 2 or 3 seconds before I roll through after I stop. But I asked them, I was like, was it drive stuff? They're like, yep. I was like, on her phone? Like, that's some of it.
Jeez.
You know, because she'll be driving with her phone in her hand and look up and realize that there's brake lights in front of her. She slammed on her brakes. And there she is holding her phone in her hand. They're really big on not having a phone in your hand. That's their big thing.
Good thinking.
Yeah.
These new vans they got us have all got Apple CarPlay and Android Auto in them. You plug your phone into it. It pulls your phone up on a screen in front of you. So now I can do everything through Siri.
No reason not to.
No, none, you know. But yet they're sitting there scrolling TikTok and shit. I almost got sideswiped week before last by a girl on the main circle interstate there at that first stop. Mm. She was scrolling through her phone all over the lanes, doing 70.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, can I get by you before you crash somebody? You know, I don't want to wind up with a van full of blood spilled everywhere.
Make it look like it's 10 motherfuckers out here been.
What part of this is you?
I don't know. Speaking of just driving all very erratic, Miss Alabama and I, when we were on our way to go see Brandy, we were on the highway, and we're going, and I start to pass this U-Haul, drivable U-Haul truck, and he speeds up.
Oh yeah,
not wanting to let me pass, so I back off. Well, you know, just noticing how, I don't know, man. I mean, I just find that kind of odd because he was in the left-hand lane and had been there. But we had noticed him kind of going, you know, on the edge of our highway out there. They've got those little mini speed breakers that when you go over them, it makes a that type of vibrating sound. You can
rumble
hear
strips.
It. Yeah, and you can hear it from even outside of another vehicle. Well, man, that son of a bitch, man, was going from that lane over to this lane.
Holy shit.
Over, just driving all over the road. And he was following another car. We finally figured out that that's what the deal was. I mean, that he was following this other car. And so we drove, just literally watching this guy and having the conversation, should we call and let somebody know, you know, that this is going on? You know, and I think I told her, I was like, golly, man, I my heart tells me to do it, but damn karma says, no, hang on, man. But we wound up making the decision because he was going from ditch to ditch, you know, to go ahead and let somebody know. And he wound up taking one of the, like the second exit going into town. And so I told her, I was like, I'm interested because I figured they were going to this little truck stop that's right there off on the right. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I want to see this guy get out. And so we pulled off on like one of the far gas stations up down there. And when he got out of the U-Haul, the lady that he was following pulled up in one of the other side by sides of him. But when he got out, man, this guy was, I mean, hell, he was having to lean on the door. You know, and
like fucked up, you think?
Well, we were having the conversation that either the guy is about to fall asleep, you know, or he's
in the side shuffle trying to stand up next to the truck.
Yeah, real, real bad, effed up on something. So anyway, man, we did what we thought was the right thing to do, man. We let the authorities know. Yeah. Don't know, man, what happened after that, but
I've called the cops twice. Once because it was a group of guys in muscle and pony cars on the big loop there, and they were all lined up, and they slid down like 30 miles an hour, and they're going to race. And once they took off, they were weaving in and out of traffic, doing way over 100.
Wow.
You know, being on that big loop, you never know where they're going to get off at, you know, so I call the police. I'm like, hey, there's like 8 of these cars. Which ones were they? I'm like, I don't know. It was Challengers and Mustangs and Camaros and Chargers. Good luck. Good luck finding those cars in this huge city, you know. And the other time was I just left going up there one night. It was on a Saturday night. I got behind this guy, like, leaving our town, going up. And every car that was, like, coming like to pass him, he would swerve at him, like big time swerve. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? And he'd go way over here to the right. Whenever a car would go to pass him, he'd start coming over in their lane. I'm like, all right. So I was going slower than what I usually did, just so I could stay behind this guy and give information. Of course, he was from Alabama, and because that's all Alabama drivers are. They're a bunch of knuckle dragging folks who don't know how to drive a car.
What are you trying to say, man? Yeah. Alabama, just come people, out and say it.
Alabama folks cannot drive a car to save their life. They're either swerving or they're doing like 20 under the speed limit. There's no in between. And so I saw the tag. I'm like, oh, well, this explains it. So call the Highway Patrol. All right, where are you at? Well, I give them a mile marker where I'm at, you know. All right, we're going to try to get – we don't have anybody close by, but we're going to get somebody to you. They wanted my name and number, give it to them. Well, maybe 10 minutes later, I get a phone call, and it's a Highway Patrol. He's like, where about are you? Are you still with the guy? I'm like, yep, I'm still right behind him, watching him swerve at every car tries to pass on a Saturday night. Jeez. You know, not like it was like, you know, sparse traffic. Hmm. So where are you at now? So I told him, he's like, all right. And he said, I'll probably be there in about 5 minutes. I'm like, cool. So we're going along, and here I see that gray ghost coming up behind me, you know, wide ass open. You know, I told him what I was in, you know, because my van, of course, is marked,
yeah,
you know, with the business and everything. And so here he come, you know, and he pulled up next to me, and, you know, I threw the hand up, and he pointed, and I nodded. And he started easing up along there, and he got just about to that guy's rear fender, and the dude swerved.
What an idiot.
Brake lights come on. Blue lights come on. Well, that dude slowed down real quick and pulled off the side of the road. And I was like, oh, I'll say a prayer for you, buddy, because I don't know what you got going on, but it ain't going to be good now. Yes. You swerved out of HP? Shoot, you screwed. So, yeah, that was the only time I've really called that. Those two the only time I've really called a cop. I tried calling him one night over a known drunk driver. I could see the guy. And they're like, we'll get somebody there when we can. I'm like, all right, thanks. Appreciate that. You know, I'll stay out here. And then I was like, I didn't want to try to pass him. Ready to swerve into me. He was in the right-hand lane, and I was behind him. And he, like, hit his brakes and cut across both lanes to make a cutoff to the left. I'm like, there you go.
You'd be surprised how many people I walk food out to their car, and they've got open containers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that are just in their car. I mean, I'm 100% sure they're drinking beer while they're going to pick up, you know, pizza or whatever.
Get them a roadie. Hell yeah.
But there's a lot of people, you know, I don't know what a percent, but I mean, you know, 15%.
Yeah.
You know, but that's still a lot to have open containers. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean.
I mean, yeah, one, he may be sipping on a beer after he got done mowing the yard to come get pizza. Sure. Mm-hmm. How many of those people up there are just gassed, just totally tanked, drunk?
I see a couple of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just.
There was a guy
about
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, he always eats with me at lunch during the day. He's not in very good health. He's around your age, Jut. He's a local guy, and his mom is in bad health, so he's been living with her trying to help her out. But he's in bad health as well. So he showed up, he usually gets breadsticks or a pasta or something light. And I was taking his food out to him, and he goes, man, I'm just a little bit on the shy side, man. You know, I really don't have enough money to tip you, which he always tips. He's a good guy. He always tips. He goes, but man, I've got this joint right here, or this roach. if you want to hop in, man, and we'll hit it. And I'm like, thank you, man. I appreciate the offer. If that's very kind, but I'm good.
I've got to do math tonight.
I'm at work, man. You know, if you'd have called me 25 years ago, I'd have been like, hell, let's take a block. But you know, right, it's now I'm like,
cut a lap.
Yeah, I told him, I said, I appreciate it anyway.
All right, y'all want to hear some listener? Was this our totals, like listens and whatnot? Mm-hmm. Or what kind? Where we're being listened to at? Number one is the United States. Number two is Canada. Number three, this is not a fluke. We've picked up more listeners in Belgium and Germany.
Bang it.
I don't know what we've got going on in Central Europe, but apparently it's something. Belgium, Germany's number four, the Netherlands. We've got a few listeners there now. Russia has now made it into the chat. So,
holy
so smokes. Russia's listening.
Vladimir.
We got India has picked up now. It's become one of our top ones. Australia, which I knew about that because one of Mess's friends listens to us, and he's in Australia. The Philippines, Brazil, and we're now being listened to in Mexico.
That's absolutely that's amazing. Hey, I would like to say hey to the world out there. If you're out there listening to us from a foreign country, man, I mean that's. I appreciate it. I mean, I know y'all do. I mean,
do you get listener requests? Like, are they asking you to like talk about certain things, or we want to hear more of this person, or
no? I've gotten a couple.
This person needs to stop talking.
No, I don't get any of that. No, I've gotten a couple emails from people just saying they really enjoy the show, and
all positive. Though.
Yeah, it's that's been awesome. No criticism or anything like that. So I. You know, that's nice. I'm glad we're doing something right. But yeah, so hello to all of our foreign listeners. U.S. breakdown, we pretty much have the South locked down. It's every state in the South, except Florida, apparently. Florida's not a big listener, I guess. Wow. They're not one of our top ones.
Have we not done enough bath salts yet? Come on, Florida.
Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Missouri, Illinois, Washington State, Iowa, Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, and Indiana. Those are our big states.
Now, Miss Alabama and I are going to Miami, going down to the Keys.
Oh,
this summer. So, get us some Hango Show stickers, and we'll plaster them.
Put them on.
You know, so we'll get us some Florida listeners, man, that, you know, we'll do that. You know, when I had my first set of stickers made, every trip that I'd go to, man, all over New York, anywhere, Vegas, any of them, when I was in the cabs or Ubers or if it was Subway or in a restaurant or wherever, I was smacking in things on everything, man. I mean, just all sorts of it.
Let me order you about 500 of them. You can just litter the entire coast and keys with stuff. Let's see here. You know, I was thinking the other day, I know you know what Omegle is. You know what Omegle is? Yeah. Okay, Omegle is are y'all familiar at all? Omegle is a website. It's been around for a while, and you just get on Omegle and turn on your webcam, and it just randomly matches you with some other random person on the site, and you can skip whenever you want to skip.
It's like playing dick roulette.
It is. That's it. That's what it is. Because a lot of times,
is that a real game?
A lot of times it'll pop up. There's a dick in your on the screen. You're like, oh, well, I don't want to see that, so skip to the next person. I thought one night we could turn it on and just get like random people on the show, let them talk.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah,
we'll look at a lot of dicks, but it'll be a lot of fun.
I mean,
never heard of that before.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get some folks on there, man. Just say, hey, look, you know, while you're out there, turn your knob over and check us out.
I don't think we're terrestrial anymore. You get to download this shit. Tune in. What station are you on? Check iTunes.
For the UK listeners, please don't turn. Please don't turn your knob.
Or do. Oh, the NFL combines have been going on.
Love it.
Did you see Jordan Davis from Georgia? That big motherfucker that me and Jet were talking about in the past. Did you see his deal at the combine?
Who?
Jordan Davis from Georgia, a big lineman from Georgia.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Oh, did he run that 4.8?
Ran a 4.8 40. This boy is 341 pounds.
I did see that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that because I watched all those 40s.
I didn't see the video of it, but I did see the still frame.
Well, he was fast. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And you get a guy who's 341 pounds moving that fast, that quick. He gonna hurt somebody when he runs into him.
Did you see all those other guys, like the two guys from Memphis that
4.1, 4.2, 40s?
Did you see any of that?
Jeez,
fuck, dude. Yeah, it's like, you know, usually like that first step or two, you know, it's kind of almost awkward. You're getting the body moving like that. that one son of a bitch, man, he came out like three steps in the first go.
Yep.
No shit. He was lightning.
This is probably one of the fastest classes ever to come through the combine. Yeah. But there were multiple like running backs, wide receivers running like 4.2s, 4.3s.
Yeah, it's a bunch.
Did you hear? Well, I sent y'all the thing about that Cain Velasquez, mm-hmm. the shooting. Mm-hmm. Did you see what all that was about?
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Cardio Cain Velasquez, one of the best heavyweights they ever had in the UFC, was arrested for attempted murder the other day. And I'm like, well, that don't sound like Cain. But he's always such a quiet guy, you know. And he went digging into it, and apparently some guy had molested his 3-year-old daughter or something, and he got granted bail. And Cain wanted to go revoke that bail permanently, apparently, and went over there with a gun ready to light this dude up. And then Cain got arrested, and he's being held without bail.
Well, they jumped into the car, man. It was a car chase. And
I didn't know the whole story of it.
Yeah, so it's a car chase. The guy that supposedly has molested this
allegedly
young child around 100 times.
Oh no.
It's his daughter. So the suspect's uncle
was the girl Cain's daughter or the molest? Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Cain's daughter. Now, this is my understanding of the whole, it could be wrong, but this is what I'm understanding. It's his daughter. There's a highway chase with the perp and the passenger and his uncle driving. And Cain is driving through there, shooting into their vehicle. And he hit the driver. It wasn't life-threatening, the uncle. So, obviously, man, he was charged for, you know, a first degree of murder attempt or whatever you call it, however you, you know, phrase it. But, man, I've heard Rogan, his commentary on it. He's like, man, you know, my only wish is that he would have just swerved into the guy, you know, gone and pulled him out of the vehicle and absolutely just beat him to death with his hands.
Yep.
You know, that would have been, you know, I heard him and, Rogan and Michael Bisping having a conversation about it. And, you know, you can't imagine, you know, what that guy's, his frame of mind would be.
It's to kill. You want to.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, just the wave of emotion once that hits.
Well, I think that's, I mean, not being a parent, you could relate more than this, Miss Alabama, that, you know, I think parents see their one true job is to protect their child. You know what I'm saying? Am I right there?
I think for the majority of parents, yes. I mean, I can't even imagine experiencing something like that. And I could easily, well, I could imagine. I just really think I would want to kill that person, like, to the nth. I mean, you know, my job, you know, is to raise my kids and take care of them and be there for them until I'm gone. You know, that's why I feel like I'm on this earth at this point. So that's my opinion, you know.
But, well, I just, from the mindset of a parent having that, you know, and your Cain Velasquez, was a heavyweight champion at one point.
Yeah.
Former heavyweight UFC champion. And as big and badass as you are, you failed at protecting your child. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be in his mind so bad.
Oh, you know it. Yeah. Well, there's been anonymous donations over $1 million to go for his
legal defense.
His legal defense. Plus, they've already got all sorts of people donating money that's like, hey, this is obviously from me. But there's been some big donations, you know, that's got him over $1 million so far. And, but yeah, man, I mean, that's just incredible.
How old is the child?
3.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, that was
intense.
When I saw it, I was like, "And there's no way that he just went out and randomly tried to kill somebody." I mean, because Cain was always such a respectful, soft-spoken guy. You never heard anything bad about him, really. You know, I mean, he wouldn't even fight his own training partner. He wouldn't. He wouldn't fight against
Daniel Cormier.
Daniel Cormier, he's like, fight him. It's my buddy.
Where's he from?
He's from New Mexico. I think he lives in California now, but I think he may be from Arizona, New Mexico, maybe originally. I could be wrong.
Is that where the chase was?
I think it was in California.
Was it in California?
I'm not sure of that.
I think.
Now, the guy, he lived, like, so it was at a lady's home. She had a daycare at her home. And the guy that was the alleged molester was her son, grown man, 29 years old or something like that, living there at the house.
There's no telling how many others.
And other children, if she's running a daycare.
Yeah, just bringing them into the house for him.
Yeah.
Fucking mess.
Did you hear about the West Point cadets who died? Mm. Oh, man. Did you hear about it at all? Mm-hmm. Miss Alabama? Mm-hmm. Apparently, I think it was 7 West Point cadets from the Army Academy went on spring break and bought some cocaine and were doing it, and it was laced with fentanyl. So here's all 7 of these guys laid out. Well, 2 of the other, I think it was 9 total. 2 other cadets started giving them CPR. They got contact with it, and they're both in critical condition.
Holy shit.
Fentanyl, bad shit, man.
Yeah. So I didn't know if y'all heard about it at all. I was like, holy crap. Man, that's
where was that?
They were on spring. It said they were on spring break. I don't know if they were in Florida or Texas or Cancun or where they went.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was 9 total cadets.
Jeez, man.
I mean, these guys are like the cream of the crop. It's difficult to get into any military academy, you know, and here they, you know, went out trying to have a good time, quote unquote, you know.
20-year-old guys, man. I mean, they're like, hey, man, you know, we're going through some of the hardest shit.
For sure.
They're going to be some pretty extreme people anyway. I mean, you know, if you're going through some extreme stuff like that, I mean, that's not going to be the only part of your life that you're going to be an extreme.
Very type A to do that kind of stuff, to get through that kind of training. But yeah, I didn't know if y'all heard about it. I was like, holy, that just proves you can't, any kind of street drug now, man, you can't put anything into your body without you knowing where it came from, 100%.
And I saw somewhere where they had seized 256 something pounds of either fentanyl and carfentanyl at the border.
What is that? What's the second one?
I guess it's just an offspring of the other
fentanyl. It's
stronger.
Stronger. Okay.
Yeah, it is stronger than fentanyl. Much stronger. But yeah, I'm thinking I saw something. Somebody had posted, or I read somewhere that they had seized 250 something pounds of it. And I mean, you're talking about a couple of grains of that shit is enough to take you out. It's ridiculous.
It don't take much.
No, it's bad.
Yeah, I watch anything to do with like police responding to overdoses, and you know them giving them that damn Narcan up their nose. Every time, and the people come out of it, whoa, what happened? Well, I just saved your life by giving you Narcan. Oh, I appreciate it. And they stumble off into the night.
Is that like the smelling salt?
It's like I guess it's an aerosol, but it looks like it's in a syringe. They put it in their nose and push it in. I'm not sure if it's liquid or if it's an aerosol or how it works.
Holy smokes.
But they shoot it up their nose.
Is it like the same as an adrenaline shot? Kind of thing.
I've got no clue. I don't know.
I don't know how that shit works.
I don't know what Narcan's base is. But yeah, they stick it up their nose and like in a syringe. I've never seen them actually shoot it out. It's always been up their nose. I don't know if it's a liquid or if it's an aerosol or what. But yeah, man. And I forget when Narcan first came out of watching something. I think it was in maybe West Virginia, and they got it up there. And like in a weekend, they used their entire first supply.
Fuck. There was that many overdoses.
Yeah, it's all the pain pills and stuff.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, back in the mid 2000s, I guess, when the pain pill stuff really went to hitting hard.
Yeah,
like it went from meth to pain pills around here.
Opiates.
Yep.
Yep. All over the place.
You want to get into the Ukraine Russia talk? You been keeping up with it at all?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched a video about it the other day about why Russia sucked at invading a country, you know, half its size or less. Apparently, Russia's entire infrastructure runs on railroads. They transport everything by rail. Extensive railroad network throughout Russia. And so when Ukraine heard, hey, we're going to come invade you, the first thing they did was go and blow up all the railroad tracks leading into Ukraine. So that's why Russia only had, you know, a forward base at the border, because they couldn't go any further. They couldn't just roll into Ukraine on their trains. So they blew up all these connections. Well, what Russia really sucks at, apparently, is logistics. Because they only, their tanks could only go, I think, 90 miles, or their convoy could only go 90 miles on this tank of gas. But they didn't have enough gas trucks to move to the front to get these tanks and stuff refueled. Because the people in Ukraine, the first thing they started to do was making Molotov cocktails, and they were just riding down the road and chugging Molotov cocktails with these gas trucks. And so the Russians started putting fuel tanks, like the big fuel tanks, in the back of their soldier haulers with a big canopy over it to hide it. Well, it took one Ukrainian to see that shit before they put it all over. Like, oh, this is how they're doing it now. So they started burning down all, sort of chunking Molotovs and all these personnel carriers that had been converted into gas trucks.
And, yeah, you see the ones with the canvas tops? Throw it on those.
It's either going to be a soldier or it's going to be a fuel tank. Yep. You just take either one of them. And so they couldn't get this stuff fueled to the front. Plus, it's spring's coming on. So the permafrost is melting, or the frost is melting there. So everything is all the dirt's turning to absolute mud. They compared it to the old quote by General Pershing. He always said that soldiers win battles, but logistics is what wins you a war. Being able to move from point A to point B with as few hiccups as possible is the most important thing. Getting stuff to the front lines is the most important thing. Well, where Russia failed at was they've got no supply companies in their battalions. So they have all these soldiers and all this equipment, but they have very few people who keep all that stuff running. In the Marines and in the Army, every battalion's got what they call an H&S company. That's their headquarters and supply. And they go everywhere that battalion goes. And I talked to one of my coworkers who was in the Army. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq. He said for every rifle in the hand, infantry soldier, there's probably between 5 to 8 support guys for him.
Damn.
The one thing the U.S. military can do is get the war rolling. They can put bullets in guns. They can get men to where they need to be. My coworker also told me that the U.S. military, if war is declared or something, they can be anywhere on the planet ready to roll in somewhere within 48 hours. Have everything set, have planes fueled, ships ready to do support, boots on the ground, the whole shebang in 48 hours. Hmm. Now, a big part of that is because we have military bases all over this world. We've already got a foothold wherever you want to go. We've got a place we can set out of, and we've got enough friendly neighbors that will allow us to use their airspace and allow us to use their water to get troops where we need to go. But logistically, the U.S. military has got it down to a science as far as having enough cooks, having enough engineers, having people who are there to do clerical work. They've got it all figured out. Russia doesn't have that. All they've got is people and guns, and it's not working well for them. They've got no organization to what they're trying to do.
It's because they don't spend all their time ignoring all the other sciences.
So, yeah, I mean, they just, that's why their invasion just fell flat. Because, you know, an army runs on its stomach, right?
So just like which, in your opinion, how long do you think this will drag out? And how do you think Russia gets out of it?
Well, that's the problem, is that Vladimir Putin is not going to want to accept any kind of defeat, from what I know of the man.
Y'all pretty tight.
You know, he is on this button right here. I can push it right here.
Your friends on Instagram?
Yeah. He did like my post the other day. So did the Pope. It's kind of weird. I run some strange circles. He's going to either have to get some kind of capitulation toward him to kind of lay it to rest, or he's going to do some kind of weird surrender but still be able to pump it up to the Russian people that, hey, we came out better.
Oh, yeah.
A dystopian leader like that, someone who's a megalomaniac, they're not going to want to turn anything down without getting a little something out of it, or at least come out smelling a little better than what they should.
Now, yeah. Do you think this is going to have any effect on China and Taiwan?
I hope not, because that's a whole other barrel of worms we can't get the monkeys back into. It's a mess. It really is. Because at least Ukraine's big. That's a big country. Taiwan is just a little spot in the ocean. There's no way they'd be able to defend themselves. It'd have to be someone from a bigger country to go stick up for them. You know?
And who the hell would want to be right outside of China's, you know? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. China's having another COVID outbreak. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. I saw it today. 51 million infected. I'm sorry. Not infected. China has locked down 51 million people.
Well, they've done that for years.
Well, no, this...
Damn.
This is even stricter. You're getting locked down harder.
All these guys got big hammers. Bust those little rocks up while they're in. You get 2 month quarantine. Here's a hammer.
So yeah, they had that going on. I was going to ask you, how was your travels into the big city of Atlanta?
Long. It was very long.
Was this your first trip? Seeing the Atlanta people.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
I was supposed to go prior, like 2 weeks prior to, and I got the China virus again.
I didn't know you were saying
three for three.
Did I miss that in the chat or something?
1,000, huh?
Did I miss that in the chat or something?
I don't know if I said it or not.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
I could have prayed for you.
It's okay.
I could have killed a chicken.
Something like that. Dance in front of the full moon.
Ride the goat.
There you go. had to cancel that one. And then this one. So, yeah, new year, new quota, new territory.
New you.
Oh, God. Rented a car, drove to Atlanta, picked up one of my managers in Atlanta, and then we drove to Augusta, worked Augusta, stayed the night in Augusta, then drove to Savannah, worked Savannah, stayed the night.
Oh, yeah, you were at a hotel with your actual name. I know. That was so wild.
Tell that story, yeah. I guess Miss Alabama was the name of the hotel.
Yes, it was.
Miss Alabama was the name of the hotel.
I had to tell you, there's a whole chain of hotels called Marriott. The hotel's got my name. I'm like, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but yeah.
That was pretty cool. I did look up the history on the individual. She was a prominent business entrepreneur woman, back in the business.
She was a Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out of Savannah. That's right.
It was a long time ago. It was, but anyway, it was kind of cool. Then worked Savannah. Drove to one of the islands right there on the coast.
Tybee Island.
Large St. Simons.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I have a big account there.
Wait,
that's about it. The only account on the island was...
So your territory was that far south?
All of Georgia.
You're damn near... All of Georgia?
All of Georgia.
State. And
not
Alabama.
Including in Mississippi.
You have three whole states you have to look at.
I do.
They should have gave you Florida. You're almost to Jacksonville when you're in Savannah.
Well, I went ahead and...
Oh, no.
I just dropped off my... kept on going down to Jacksonville, Florida, where I dropped off my manager. He's from Florida. And then I dropped off the rental, flew back home. So it was a 4-day whirlwind of Georgia accounts. And
then came up here after that.
I did.
Well, I just thought, I mean, I know you said you were picking up Atlanta. I'm like, cool, that's a beast within itself. But then you got Atlanta and then Macon, Athens, I'm sure, Savannah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of big towns.
And, you know, I'm learning the previous rep, I think, was a little more hands-on with the cut. I mean, just doing, I think, everything for the customer, which don't get me wrong, I'm all about good customer service, but there's a...
He was hand-holding.
Oh, bad. I mean, I think so. So now I'm having to, like, you know, look, this is how you solve this problem. I'm sales, but I'm going to help you get to what you need, but I don't know. I've been telling him that my phone's just constantly blowing up with Georgia, and I'm trying to manage it all. So we'll see.
It's a lot.
Like I said, Atlanta alone is plenty big.
Russia should hire you to do their logistics.
Oh, sure. So yeah, that's all good, but this will be a big learning year, and gas prices are going to really start making freight everything a little more interesting. In the industry there, one of the other companies has already added another surcharge for cost of gas because it's going up. So it's one of our competitor companies. We just heard that on the call today. So yeah, it's probably going to get a little more interesting. We'll see.
Man, that's just. I can't get over you having all of Georgia. I mean, I was just thinking, God, the gyms in Atlanta is enough. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think I had some news here I was going to read over.
So, Miss Alabama got asked, why do they call you Miss Alabama?
Because she's from Alabama.
I told her, I said, man, you got to come up with a really good story, man.
Oh.
Behind that, you know what I mean?
It's kind of caught me off guard.
This is,
I said, because I'm from Alabama. Yeah.
Some guy in shit splat Mississippi called me that one time, so it stuck. So that's.
Yeah. shit splat.
That's where we live, man.
I thought, though, about all the questions I was going to get asked, that's what I got asked. Huh?
You mean make your blood boil again, since we were talking about Kane's problem? Former deputy accused of raping a 14-year-old avoids jail time and sex offender registry.
That was local.
Former sheriff deputy, yep.
Mm-hmm. What?
Prosecutors said former Shelby County Sheriff's Deputy Brian Beck raped a minor over a 20-month period of time.
While they were in jail?
I'm not kidding. I don't think so. I think
he was just a cop.
A former sheriff's deputy in Tennessee who was accused of raping a 14-year-old girl over a period of nearly 2 years will avoid jail time after pleading guilty to a lesser charge. Brian Beck, 47, was sentenced to 3 years probation for pleading guilty to a charge of aggravated assault, according to Memphis Fox 13. Beck, who had worked for the force for the Shelby County Sheriff's Office since 2004, was initially charged with 2 counts of rape by force or coercion and 2 counts of sexual battery by an authority figure back in 2018. Beck was accused of raping an unnamed teenager over a 20-month span beginning in 2016. He was 43 at the time.
And they were 14.
According to court documents obtained by Law and Crime, the judge in the case suspended a 4-year prison term in favor of probation. The state ordered Beck to have no contact with the victim or her family, be subject to random drug screenings, and serve 150 hours of community service.
Man.
He did some shit.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, he's a sheriff's deputy, so he's got buddies. But even if he didn't get convicted, it only been 4 years for raping a 14-year-old for 20 months. 4 years.
Unbelievable. I mean, what about that girl's dad?
Right.
What do you think he's about to
get the cane.
Yeah, the cane treatment.
That's holy shit.
Yeah.
Or their family or just her. I mean, damn. That shit ain't never going away.
No. Never. And if I said, if he'd have got guilty, it'd just been 4 years. He'd been out by the time the next president was coming in.
Even if he'd been found guilty.
Yeah. He got suspended a four-year sentence.
Probation. How often do you think that happens? Like somebody commits a crime, and then depending on the judge, either gets completely off or gets some completely like wicked, crazy, long term. You know, like how often what percentage in the in the jail or whatever, like.
I think people like him who used to be a sheriff's deputy get preferential treatment. And you won't be able to convince me otherwise. I've seen it happen way too many times. Yeah.
No, I was just like thinking, like, then you get some judge that's, you know, thinks he's God, and then puts some crazy sentence on somebody who had, you know.
Well, had an illegal plant in their,
Yeah, those kinds of situations. Yeah,
these assholes get 4 years for raping another person, but if you get caught with pot or something, you know, you're going to be looking at, you know, God forbid they're able to tack on distribution or something to it, and God forbid you've got one state's plates where you're in another state, well, then you're interstate trafficking. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're part of the Sinaloa cartel, and you're running, you're a worldwide kingpin all of a sudden.
Shit.
You know, and then you end up with 25 years in jail for that shit, when you were trying to go to your buddy's house the next state over to have smoke a joint with him.
That's just crazy.
Anything else y'all saw this week you want to talk about?
Seems like, man, there was so much going on this past couple of weeks.
Oh, I'll tell you what I did see. This happened before our last episode. I was coming back from my main run one night, on Sunday night, and there was a lot of traffic out. It was really weird. I usually talk to Tink at some point going up or coming back or whatever. She's like, how's traffic tonight? I'm like, oh, it's horrible. I said, I don't know what's going on, but there's cars everywhere. That's really weird for a Sunday night. I'm like, I know. Made my drop coming back before I was on the loop in that city. Came around one of the corners, and it's just brake lights. I'm like, all lanes, all four or five lanes, brake lights. I'm like, fuck. So I get up there, and I'm like the fifth car back. The police shut down the entire interstate because there was a wreck. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was, I saw a car over here and a car over there. And there was, of course, there was glass and shit everywhere. So I come up there and pull to a stop. And I'm sitting. And we're about a mile from the first exit, or from the next exit you can see. The sign above the overpass I'm at says, you know, this exit 1 mile. Mm-hmm. So there's no other exit between here and there. Traffic starts backing up. I take a picture of it, send it to one of my coworkers. I'm like, here I am. He's like, oh no. I'm like, yeah. I said, it's backed up plumb to the exchange now. He's like, damn. Well, then cars and semis try to pass on the far right breakdown lane, trying to get around all this shit. Well, if there was an exit right there, I'd understand, like a truck trying to get out of the way, get around. So then the police are stopping them and writing them tickets. You know, because now fire trucks and emergencies trying to get through, and they can't get down the breakdown lane because there's semis and cars blocking the entire breakdown lane. These cops, I thought the cops was going to shoot his gun into the air. He looked so pissed off. I thought he was going to whip it out and just fire off a few shots. I sat there probably 20 minutes waiting for them to open up a lane to get traffic going again. Luckily, they opened up my lane.
Wow.
And so then everybody goes, and tries to turn in. They're like, I'm hitched this truck in front of me now. We're going through together. Ain't nobody getting through, you know. But yeah, I've seen it happen so many times going back and forth right there around the city. Wreck happens. Traffic either bottlenecks or gets totally shut down. And people come flying up the breakdown lane trying to get to the exit. And every time it's a cop just pulling them over, starts writing out tickets. That's probably the one thing I hate most about driving in bigger metropolitan areas like that, is people just cannot, they gotta be where they gotta be right now, and will ride your ass. And I'm like, there's three other lanes over here you could take. Nobody in them. I don't know. Yeah, that's my adventures. Y'all got anything else tonight? Oh, did you hear about that actress that got stabbed?
I don't think so.
Reese.
Witherspoon?
No, with a knife. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of The Hango Show.
You did it.
Be sure to go by tripodbroadcasting.com to check out all the shows on the network. Also, be sure to check out our sponsors like Ebles.com, EABLES, where you can save 15% with the promo code HANGO on some premium CBD. Also, check out MyDelta8.com. Harpoon, Jut, Miss Alabama, I love y'all a lot. And I love all y'all out there for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.